The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's community radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go.
Sounds like a birdie.
Hello.
Somebody's got a birdie in the room.
I've been practicing whistling.
I can't do it.
Are you sucking in or blowing out? Some people can go in, but...
I can't whistle.
Wow, tighten your lips tighter.
I used to do it all the time, and now I can't.
You can't whistle. Well, that's something you can do now at home. You can practice. Are you breathing in or blowing out?
Breathing in.
No, blow
and
out.
Then blow out.
Just go.
In, out.
I want you to practice. I want you to practice every single day.
Oh, well, it's the end of that.
All right, I'm Lynn.
And I'm Bev.
And together we really are
Stuff.
We're a bunch of stuff. We bring you stuff every week. If you have any ideas that you, and we love your ideas. Thank you so much. We love your emails. You can email us
at stuffingforus@gmail.com.
Let us know what you would like us to talk about. And we'll try to accommodate.
Yeah.
Or things you don't want us to talk about.
Yeah.
And then we'll decide if you're right. Because you know why? This is our show. And if you would like to do a show here, you can contact the station and you can possibly do your own show. You don't get paid.
If you want to come in and do our show,
yes.
We're more than happy to have you.
Yes, we have guests on our show, and we love it. We love having you. If you're a teenager and you think you'd like to come in and share something, right? Anybody could come.
Anybody.
We had my granddaughter here one time.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
She actually has a friend, and her friend is very chatty, and she's adorable. They'd be great if we had them together. But the thing about that is they're gigglers, they're laughers. They just look at each other and they laugh. They're besties. So it would be fun.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes. Okay. I have a quote. And this is from Henry Ford, and it says, coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is a process.
Hmm.
Working together is success. That was Henry Ford.
Mr. Henry Ford.
Mr. Henry Ford.
Okay, I have two true or false today. I misplaced my third one. If I find it, I'll tell you later. NASA genuinely faked part of the moon landing.
I don't even want to hear it.
True or false?
Oh, I don't even want to hear it. Oh, my gosh. I so hope that's false. I don't want to even hear it.
Ants have two sets of lungs.
Does that mean they can be cut in half and then still survive?
Oh.
If you don't get that, you'd have to have heard another show
from
that we did.
The other show, yeah.
Okay, those are the two?
Those are the two.
One is true, one is false.
Yep.
Yes? One is true, one is false. I know where I'm going with this because I don't even want to think about it. So my husband gets the American Legion magazine, and every time he gets it, he tears out the joke page. It is the joke page. And some of these jokes are just bad, just not good. They're not funny. They're kind of dopey. But I got a couple here that are kind of cute. Okay. So I'm going to shorten the first one because it's pretty long. So it was a guy who wanted his girlfriend to come over to their home. They had an old-fashioned outhouse in the backyard. And he asked his father if they could please get rid of it and get a bathroom in the house. But it to no avail. So he doesn't want to get embarrassed by having this outhouse. So in the middle of the night, he went out and he pushed the outhouse down the hill so that nobody would see it. He couldn't drag it away because it got kind of damaged. He figured, well, it's down there. So his father asked him the next day if he had knocked down the outhouse. And he said, you know, there, you got to remember about George Washington and the cherry tree. He did not tell a lie. So his father said, well, yes, Dad, it was me. And he said, well, I'm glad that you're being honest. You're going to have to start making a new outhouse for the family. It's going to be your job. And he said, well, wait a minute, Dad. When George Washington admitted it was him who cut down the tree, his father didn't punish him. And the father said, well, yes, you're right, George. But his dad wasn't in the cherry tree when he cut it down. That was really cute.
I was not expecting that.
Okie dokie.
That's a good one.
All right. What are you sharing today? Okay,
fish,
then.
fish, F-I-S-H, fish form orderly queues in emergencies. Do you know that? When evacuating through narrow spaces and sketchy situations, schools of neon tetra fish queue so that they don't collide or clog up the line. Scientists interpreted this behavior as showing that fish can respect social rules even in emergency situations, unlike us humans.
I believe it.
That is so sweet.
Yeah.
Chickadees will queue. I've noticed that from feeding the birds. They'll wait until, if somebody is eating, they'll wait until they move before they go in for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hummingbirds don't do that.
No.
Oh. No, they're vicious. You ever see hummingbirds?
Vicious.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever watched them?
Not really.
Oh. So I've been places where the homeowner has had a lot of feeders, and if you just sit quietly on the porch, you get a show. There's a lot of them that come.
Yeah.
And there's usually one or two that will come in, and when they come in, it's like an attack. And other ones fly away. And then this one will be at the feeder by itself and then fly away, and then the other ones will come back, and then this one will come in. Yeah, and their little wings make if they fly by your ear, it's really loud. Yeah, I don't like it. It's like having a mosquito around your ear at night when you're in bed. You ever had that?
Having a what around
you? A mosquito.
Oh, a mosquito. Buzzing. I thought you just said Speedo.
That would be interesting. A Speedo around my head? Okay, well... Well, you don't ever get a mosquito, right? Because aren't you in a, are you in a thing?
Not anymore. It's upstairs in the attic.
It's a terrible thing to hear that little mosquito around your ear. Ooh.
I can't remember the last time I heard that.
Oh. I probably hear it every year. Every single year. So I'm continuing because I have more etiquette.
Okay.
And I know that we did etiquette for a couple of shows, but I think these are really important.
All righty.
So it says, growing up, the teachers and the parents and the grandparents in your life may have stressed the importance of saying please and thank you. Mm-hmm. That lesson in polite manners was a worthy one, yet etiquette is about so much more. avoiding eye contact is one thing that is important. And you're not looking at me. She's looking past me. That's another one. We'll talk about that. Oh, she's doing it again. So the nonverbal habit not only comes off as rude, but can undermine your credibility. You may be the most knowledgeable and experienced person in the room, but looking away makes you seem uninterested, disengaged, and even disrespectful. This is this person's Dr. Swanee. I don't have a first name. I've seen meetings where brilliant ideas are overlooked simply because the speaker wouldn't look up. Eye contact signals sincerity, engagement, and without it, your words can feel hollow.
What about when you're talking with someone and you think you remember something and you just casually glance to your left or your right as you think of it, and then you look back?
I think that's totally acceptable.
Okay.
It's when you're talking to someone and all of a sudden they're just kind of looking, you know, around the room or looking at something else or looking at a TV screen in the restaurant. Yeah. Nope. Mm-mm. I'm done.
Okay.
Okay.
There are more bacterial cells in your body than human cells.
Oh, then there's a lot of itching.
The average human is around 56% bacteria. 56%.
Is it good bacteria, though?
Could be.
All right.
This was discovered in a 2016 study and is far less than the earlier estimates of 90%. As bacteria are so light, however, by weight, each person is over 99.7% human.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
But I don't see if you're around 50%, 56% bacteria, how can you be 99% human?
Oh, I guess we'd have to look that up.
Yeah, I got to look into that more.
That's when you have to circle, highlight, put a little star next to it. For the next
right.
time.
Yeah.
Here we go, people. Folded arms.
Oh, my God. When you said, before that happened, the one that you were reading before, I said to myself, don't say it. But Greg used to do that when he gave speeches and people thought he was just being rude.
Ouch.
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
All right. We all do it unconsciously, but Dr. Swanee warns that the gesture can give off a disengaged, defensive vibe. I remember sitting in a freezing conference room, folding my arms for warmth, not realizing that my posture came across as closed and dismissive, she says. Even small adjustments in posture can dramatically shape how others perceive you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like closed. Like if someone's, it feels like it's the person's closed as opposed to your arms open.
But I get the defensive part.
Yeah. 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 I don't fold my arms much, I don't think.
I don't either because there's something in the way. I never know whether to go above or below.
Okay.
It's surprisingly easy to escape quicksand.
Oh.
Quicksand's density is higher than that of the human body, making it impossible to sink completely.
Oh.
To escape quicksand, sit or lie back. Try to keep your arms up and out of the quicksand and slowly wiggle your legs from side to side or back and forth.
I don't ever want to test that. Never. Is there still quicksand?
My mother made up that there was quicksand in our backyard for a place where she had flowers and she didn't want us to go. So We never went near her flowers.
So you know what you could have done? You could have broken off limbs of trees and laid them all over the flower bed so if you fell in, you could grab the tree limb.
Who thinks that far in advance?
Well, I don't know. you know, we've seen movies where this has happened. In the past, I've seen movies where they show quicksand.
Yeah.
I've never seen quicksand, but that would be horrific. Horrific. Yeah, don't like that. Here's fubbing again. Constantly checking your phone, getting sucked into your device during a conversation. It is rude without you realizing it. Imagine you're talking to someone and they're making eye contact with the screen instead of you, said an etiquette expert and co-founder of that's the same woman. If you need to check and respond to something important, you can say, I'm just waiting on this important email. Excuse me. I'm going to leave the table and I'm going to go check my phone. I just want you to know my focus is 100% on you, but I do have to make this. That's polite.
That's polite.
That's polite. Acceptable.
Yeah.
You can say that I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you while you're on your phone. You're not listening. You're
right.
Not giving full attention to your person.
You don't get full attention of the phone either if you're trying to do both.
True. So you're cheating on the phone and you're cheating on your person.
Cheating.
Ouch.
Did you know there's a condition in which your body can brew alcohol?
Oh.
Auto-brewery syndrome is a very rare condition which occurs when certain bacteria and yeasts in the gut break down carbohydrates into ethanol. So you can't tell me that you've never had a drink.
Oh, I've had a drink.
No, but I mean, people who say that they don't drink usually say, I don't.
Oh.
Their body.
Their body is doing the drinking for them. Here's another one.
Okay.
Letting your face run away with itself. Eye rolls, smirks, arched brows, and a side eye can make you seem rude, even if you don't realize you're doing it. You might not even realize what you think is a private reaction is actually on display.
Ha-ha.
Those micro expressions can make people feel judged, scolded, or mocked.
Mocked?
Mm-hmm. You know how you fix it? You Botox your entire face. You Botox your whole face, so then when you're talking to people, you're just nothing's moving. You're just talking to them.
You're just a little automaton.
Yeah, and there's nothing. It's a zero face.
Little
it's just
robot.
Nothing.
Okay. Animals can be allergic to humans.
Is that right?
Animals can be allergic to our dead skin cells or dander. These allergic reactions can be just like ours, too, including breathing difficulties and a skin irritation.
So, does anybody out there have an animal that's allergic to you?
I don't know.
Let us know if you do. We want to hear about it.
Do we?
You can email. We do. Email us if you have an animal that's allergic to you and how you know it.
stuffingforus@gmail.com.
I don't think she wanted to tell you the email address because I don't think she wants to know. But how would you know if your animals, do you have to have your animal
if
have
they shrink,
allergy testing?
If they shrink or if they squirm when you try to pet them or you notice there's irritation on their skin or they just bite.
Ow.
Who knows?
And could your pet be tested for allergies? And is there a test for human allergy? Wow.
My goodness.
My goodness. We could be scientists. personal space invasion. Bev, have you ever had anybody invade your space?
Oh, I hate that.
Isn't that uncomfortable?
That is totally uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I might have told the listeners this. During COVID, I saw a guy in the supermarket. He took pool noodles, you know, those styrofoam long pool noodles you can float on.
Yeah.
And he had a hat that he made out of a helmet. And he attached the noodles. They're 6 feet long. So he'd have a 6-foot noodle so that nobody could get close to him when he was in the supermarket. It was hysterical. I loved it.
Oh, my God.
So a healthy distance can help you maintain close ties with professional contacts and prevent strangers from feeling closed in around you. While everyone has different boundaries, about 18 inches is a good general guideline for personal space. Dr. Spencer says this. Standing too close in line or touching someone unexpectedly is not only impolite, but can also make people threatened. So everyone has that space around them that
And you can tell when you push it.
Yes. Or when someone pushes it on you.
Yeah.
And I've tried backing off, you know, backing away a bit, and the person comes right back into my space. I actually know a few people like that, and they're lovely. They don't do it on purpose.
It's healthy not to have to do that. But there's also different people who have different countries. They don't have the same kind of
space etiquette?
Yeah.
Yes. This is true.
I thought it was Italians or Arabs or something where they get really close.
Really close? I think, too, it might be if you have a problem hearing.
Probably me.
True. That you need to get close. But I'm very uncomfortable with the whole, like right here.
If I can smell your breath, it's you too.
Yeah. Yeah. True. If you're spitting on me, you're too close. Too close.
Our immune systems, this is for you, can detect bad bacteria from good.
Yay.
The immune system detects pathogen patterns through receptors and will mount an attack. Simultaneously, it will cooperate with microbes and beneficial bacteria.
See, there's good bacteria. The good B, the GB. I'm not going to get a shirt. I'm going to have it made GB on the front. Good bacteria. Are we ready for a break?
No.
All right.
Just
yawning.
No.
Now, you know what? Now that we're going to talk about yawning, we're going to yawn. I know it.
Okay, go ahead.
You were going to say something.
No, I'm covering it up so I don't yawn.
It can happen, especially after a poor night's sleep, but try not to make mid-conversation yawning a habit. Yeah. When someone yawns during a conversation, it's hard not to notice. A yawn translates that I'm tired, I'm bored, and I am definitely not engaged in this conversation. If it isn't that funny? It's funny because right now I just felt like I was going to yawn. It's a power of suggestion. Yeah. When you feel the urge, you can try taking a deep breath or sipping cold water to help suppress it. If you just can't stop yourself, cover your mouth and make a quick apology. And I would even go further than that. I really would go further than that. I would say, really, it's not you. It's not you. I'm just really tired.
Assure the person.
Yeah. Make them feel like, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Platypuses. Haven't spoken about them in a long time. Platypuses.
Not in a long time? When was the last time we talked about
Platypuses.
They sweat milk.
What?
They sweat milk. This is because it doesn't have teats. Milk appears as sweat on a platypus, but it's an aquatic mammal, so it doesn't actually sweat at all.
I'm just picturing little platypus babies licking their mother. You're licking, licking her sweat.
It's kind of
gross.
Even though they don't sweat.
They sweat milk.
But they're in the water, so I don't know.
Maybe, well, they sweat out of the water, and their little babies get fed by licking them.
But it says it's an aquatic mammal, so it doesn't actually sweat at all.
So does it not sweat milk? Is it contradictory? Let's talk about this for a while. I'm going to tell you, if I go to the grocery store and I'm looking for almond milk or oat milk, if I see platypus milk, there's a problem. Because how would you get platypus milk to sell in the store?
Oh, my God. It would
be really cute to see a little platypus behind the little freezer section door.
How do you know that they don't? And how do you know that they do?
I don't know.
Do you go to a zoo? How do you know if they don't? How do you know if they do? Do we go to a zoo?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay. How to fix unfavorable social habits. How come I only have one on here?
Oh, my gosh. Just one.
It takes one click to blast your hot take. What does that mean? But it can take you a lifetime to recover from it. What does this mean?
Hot cake?
I don't know. I don't know what that meant. The most unhelpful habits happen on autopilot. It's a habit. It's hard to change a habit. You need to pay attention. Take pause and ask, do I really need to say this? Am I really, I don't really get this. Do I really need to say this, or is it about me in this moment? But you know, it looks like this was a whole section on, here we go. Get curious instead of defensive. These are things on how to fix.
Oh, okay.
How to fix.
All right.
So I think it says that one thing you want to do is you want to take pause and say to yourself, do I really need to say this to a person?
Okay.
And then another thing is to say, is this moment all about me? Like, is this moment all about me? Okay. And then The other one says, get curious instead of defensive. It says this one is challenging, especially if you default to defensiveness, but it's necessary. When something lands poorly, curiosity keeps you in connection instead of control, replacing that's not what I meant with how did that come across is a habit breaker and a trust builder.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's very interesting.
Okay. All right.
And then you ask, you don't assume. We probably don't need to remind you of what can happen if you assume. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still at the heart of many bad social habits. Many missteps come from filling in gaps with our own story. Simple questions like, do you want advice or support? Or a question, is now a good time? Prevents friction before it starts. So don't assume. Be curious.
Okay. All right.
Sounds a little complicated.
Does.
But breaking a habit is complicated. Yeah, it takes practice, and it takes listening to other people.
You don't like the sound of your own voice, do you?
No, hate it.
Hate it. It's because of the bones in your head.
Oh, I want to hear this.
This may be because the bones in our head make our voice sound deeper.
Oh.
Does your voice sound deep to you?
My voice does sound deep to me. Does it sound deep to you?
Sorta.
See, I don't listen to my voice. I don't listen to our show. I can't. I don't like it.
Does my voice sound deep to you?
Yes. Does it sound deep to you?
Yeah.
Should we go deeper so it doesn't sound higher through someone else's ears?
I don't know.
Maybe we should. I don't know.
High voices just kill me.
There's times when my voice gets really high if I get really excited.
If you get really excited.
Yeah, I'll go, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's another thing. Talk about my dad a lot, don't I? He didn't like it when my voice got high, and he'd say, lower your voice, and then I'd go really, really low like that. Wow.
Apparently, guys like soft, feminine voices that are kind of high and sweet. I can't get that.
Yeah, no. No.
No.
No, 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 no. Okay. Wow, I have a lot of stuff like what you have, the things that you're talking about. But I here's a total shift. What shouldn't you plant next to your tomatoes? So this is a total shift of what I was talking about.
When should you plant?
You should not plant tomatoes next to other things. There's certain things.
Oh.
It says. They
need space?
I had no, they can't be next to something like fennel. If you want to plant fennel, which I don't even eat fennel, I think it tastes like licorice. It says that fennel's aversion to companion planting is not exclusively reserved for tomatoes. Fennel doesn't like to be planted near anything.
Okay.
So if you're a fennel lover and you want to plant it, it needs to be away because it has these fennel roots that spread through the soil. And if the fennel roots interact with, for instance, tomato, your tomato growth is inhibited and weakens the plant and reduces the yield. So if you plant fennel, don't plant it near other things, especially tomatoes. And with spring coming up and planting season coming, this is imperative because, you know, everyone plants fennel.
Oh.
I don't even know if you can buy fennel to plant it. You must be able to buy fennel
sure
seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Not in
I'm
my
not
garden.
I'm not even going to look for it.
No.
All right.
Is it a break time? Did we do our break already?
No, but it's going to be shortly.
Oh, okay.
Giraffes hum.
Oh, I'm not even surprised.
To communicate with each other, it's thought that the low-frequency humming could be a form of contact call between individuals who have been separated from their herd, helping them to find each other in the dark. Some reachers think they sleep talk, too.
I sound like a dolphin. Or is that a whale? No, dolphins. Just blew out her ears. A whale is more like.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Finding Dory?
Yes.
Oh, is it not the cutest movie? Is it the cutest little thing? And you know what? We just took my granddaughter to see Hopper. We went to the theater the other day and we saw the movie Hopper. It is so cute. And you know what? Hopper. H-O-P-P-E-R.
Oh,
Hopper.
Oh.
It is so cute. It's about beavers. It's really good.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8. And if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
I looked up beavers. I wanted to know fun facts about beavers.
Yeah.
But I figured I was already talking about the tomatoes. So one thing I did see, though, the beaver's teeth are orange.
Beavers, that's what I understand.
Uh-huh. They are orange, and there is actually an International Beaver Day. And International Beaver Day is April 7th. It's coming up. So how do you celebrate International Beaver
Day? Gnaw on a piece of wood or something, you know?
But the movie Hopper was about these beavers and the beaver dam and this little girl and her grandmother. It was really good. It was really good. So,
ages
recommend it.
5 to 7?
No, it was really good. There were adults in the theater. There were kids. It was really good. So you have a true or false?
Yes, I do. And I think I just covered it up. Hold
okay.
on.
Okay.
Ah, I have too many pieces of paper.
We do. We have paper. We do use paper in our phones. But we don't cheat and look up things. We don't do that. I mean, like true or false. We don't cheat and look that up.
Oh, no. NASA genuinely faked part of the moon landing. True or false? Ants don't have lungs.
They don't? Oh, my goodness.
No, they have two sets of
lungs. Should we tell them?
They have two sets of lungs.
Okay. You know where I'm going with this, right? Yeah.
Okay.
I know where I'm going with that.
Yes. All right.
So this is the second half of our show, just in case you just tuned in. It's a show called Stuff. And I'm Lynn.
And Bev.
And we're talking about all kinds of stuff. And we have an email address if you would like to email us. We love getting the emails.
Stuffingforus@gmail.com.
All right.
Sea level isn't actually level. As the strength of the force generated by the Earth's spin is strongest at the equator, the average sea level bulges outward there, putting it further from the center of the Earth than at the poles.
Oh.
Differences in the strength of Earth's gravity at different points also cause variation. I would think watching the waves, you could see that
it does, it's not consistent.
It's not level.
No. Mm-mm. So I was interested in talking about planting tomatoes. And you should not plant corn next to tomatoes.
Boy, tomatoes are getting really huffy.
Yeah. The competition between corn and tomatoes can get pretty fierce. Both corn and tomatoes are heavy soil feeders, meaning they require lots of nutrients to grow. These two plants will fight with one another for nutrients and will end up stunting each other's growth.
I can see it now.
Corn's height is also an issue as it can prevent sunlight from reaching the tomato plants. The two plants also draw pests, like the tomato fruit worm, to one another. So it's best to keep those two apart. They are not compatible.
Wow.
So if you're corn and the guy you think you want to date is a tomato, run. Because you're not compatible.
But if he's a potato, go ahead.
Maybe a potato. So don't plant your corn next to your tomatoes. Bump-a-da-dump.
I don't know why I keep harping on this kind of thing, but you inhale 50 potentially harmful bacteria every time you breathe. Thankfully, your immune system is working hard all the time, so virtually all of these are promptly destroyed without you feeling a thing.
Does that help your immune system?
I don't know, but I don't know why I keep finding stuff
about
bacteria.
Bacteria. Guess what I found?
What did you find?
Potatoes are susceptible to the same diseases as tomatoes.
No!
Despite being members of the same nightshade family, potatoes are not the friendliest of cousins with tomatoes. Planting them near each other will cause a competition for nutrients, seeing as they need similar, again, soil requirements in order to grow properly. They're both nightshades. Planting them next to each other will also increase the risk of shared diseases. One particular concern is early blight, which is the pathogen that will infect all parts of the tomato plant, including the roots and the leaves, your potato plants as well, the tubers, and the tomato fruit. This is important stuff.
Yeah.
Because I would do that. I would plant. I would make these mistakes.
I would think potatoes could go anywhere.
Nope. Nope. So here's the thing. If you're a tomato and the guy you want to date is a potato, run.
I was wrong.
There should be, you know how they have the calendar, the placemats in a Chinese restaurant?
Yeah.
And they say who's compatible, like the year you're born, you're like, I'm a monkey.
Yeah.
And the monkey's compatible with other people that are born.
Are you a monkey?
I'm a monkey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This would be really funny to have
a rabbit.
You're a rabbit?
Yeah.
Rabbits and monkeys, I think, are compatible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think. I don't want to look.
No.
No. So it'd be funny to have a placemat that has the vegetables if you're to figure out what vegetable you are and if you're compatible with another vegetable or no.
That might be stretching it just a little too much.
I could get a patent for that and go on Shark Tank. I could be rich.
Glass sponges. Have you ever heard of glass sponges?
No.
They can live for 15,000 years. This makes them one of the longest living organisms on Earth. The immortal jellyfish, however, could theoretically live forever, but scientists aren't sure because we don't live forever.
I thought you were talking about a kitchen sponge. A sponge you use to wash your car.
Oh, nope. Glass sponges.
In the ocean, I bet they're beautiful.
They sound like they would be.
They
full of holes.
I guess it would be. I don't know. I'm imagining it would reflect a lot. Oh, look it up on my phone. Look, you should look it up. Dill. I will look it up.
All right.
Dill. Although dill can have a positive relationship with tomatoes when it's young, the moment the herb reaches maturity, things start to go south. So don't, if the guy or the girl is a dill and you just meet and it's like the honeymoon part of the relationship,
yeah,
beware. Dill will turn on you.
Oh my God.
Once the dill begins to flower, here it is. Its roots release allopathic, I think that's how it's pronounced,
okay,
allopathic chemicals similar to those found in the fennel. Like fennel. These chemicals inhibit essential growing chemicals in the soil, which in turn will lead to the tomato plant's growth being stunted and a lower potential for fruit to appear.
You're going to have 45 gardens.
Yes. Yes. Everything
in its own little garden.
Yes, yeah. If you're growing tomatoes. So just know this, people, young people.
So it's the tomatoes.
If you're dating a dill.
Run for a tomato.
Well, wait a long time until finally that dill turns.
Oh.
Because that dill in the beginning can seem pretty nice. And then, bam.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
New car smell, which I like, is a mix of over 200 chemicals. These include the sickly sweet, toxic hydrocarbons, benzene, and toluene.
Did you say toxic?
Toxic.
It's toxic?
T as in T.
Uh-huh. So you can buy new car spray to spray in your car after you've lost the new car smell. So that might mean that the new car spray, because you want your car to smell new, is toxic.
Yay. Would you ever use it?
No. I don't like air fresheners and things like that. I mean, I like the smell.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I like the new car smell.
I like vanilla. I know. I like food smells. I once bought a food a thing for my car, the air freshener thing. It was a Thanksgiving turkey dinner smell.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Did it really?
No.
No.
That was a good idea, though. It's a very good idea. And it would have to be spinning around so that you get potato, stuffing, turkey, gravy, cranberry, potato, stuffing, turkey, gravy, cranberry. Okay.
Okie dokie.
Peas. Peas. If you're a gardener and you're going to plant some peas.
I would never.
You never plant peas?
No.
You don't like peas?
I don't like peas.
Okay. Even the ones in the pod? They're all in the pod. You know what? I had peas next to tomatoes. Uh-huh. And my tomatoes did not do well. My peas did very well.
So is that saying that peas?
The roots of a legume has a rhizobia bacteria, which converts. Okay, it's getting really, really scientific here. So I'm just going to say, don't plant peas next to tomatoes. There you go. It has to do with nitrogen and all this other stuff. Tomatoes do need nitrogen, but they can get too much from a pea.
Tomatoes are worthless. I mean, my God, if they have all these problems, they don't get along well with anybody.
I think you just need to put them separate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smells can pass through liquid.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Please don't try smelling underwater. Your nose will not appreciate it. But smell does protrude through liquid. Well, wait a minute. If you don't flush.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh gosh. Do we want to talk about that? Why don't we talk about that? Okay.
I'm so very sorry. I didn't say to myself I shouldn't think that anymore.
Well, you know, they have that stuff. It's called potpourri.
Yes.
You've heard of potpourri.
Yes.
You're supposed to spray that onto the surface of the water in the bowl.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to allow...
It works.
...solids to pass through it. And then I think it reconnects itself on the top of the water. And it works. I tried to be really delicate.
I use it after the fact.
No! No! It's supposed to be first. You're doing it wrong. I've lost her. I completely lost her, you guys. So she's gone. Okay.
Oh,
now
God.
You're going to be amazed when you use it right.
Oh, okay. How do we ever get on this
track? Do you still have some?
Yeah.
You got to use it right. It goes in first.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Oh, my face hurts. Okay, let's talk about eggplant. Oh, eggplant is a nightshade plant as well.
Well, that would be poisonous, wouldn't it?
So, let's see. It's incredibly competitive to the tomato.
Okay.
Owing to the fact that both the eggplant and the potato and the tomato, here we go. It's the soil nutrients, everybody. It has to be, so it's the, so really the tomatoes need to be by themselves next to nobody. Don't even stand next to them yourself. Don't have your family next to the tomatoes. Don't let your dog or your cat near. Nobody can get near the tomatoes.
Any just weeds in there, get them out.
Just leave it. And the black walnut tree, the black walnut tree will just kill your tomatoes. So
put them in your house.
Yeah, do them separate. Just don't plant. Just go to the supermarket and buy a tomato.
Somebody else could do it. Gosh.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Okay.
Pine trees can tell if it's about to rain.
Who?
Pine trees.
Oh, it's because of their needles.
No.
Oh.
Next time you see a pine cone.
Oh, yes.
Take a close look. If it's closed, that's because the air is humid, which can indicate rain is on its way.
Yes.
Now, I'm thinking, are these pine cones attached to the tree, or did they just find them on the ground?
I think you can find them on the ground.
Yeah, but doesn't that mean they're dead?
No, I don't think so. So here's the thing. I was somewhere, and there were pine cones there in the woods.
Yeah.
And I picked up a whole bunch of them because they were all flat. They were beautiful.
Yeah.
All flat. I had no idea about the opening and the closing of pine cones. I just thought it was a very unique, amazing pine cone that I discovered in the forest.
Okay.
And I got a bunch of them, and I put them in a bag and put them in my suitcase, and I came home. And when I came home, they were all open.
So it was dry.
And I didn't know what the heck was going on until I figured it out. The pine cone had a little bit of moisture in it. They weren't wet. And when I picked it up, and then when it dried out, it all fanned out and looked like the regular pine cones I have in my backyard.
So you just, you know, hose them.
Hose them if you want to close them. Did you see what I did there? You see that? Hose them, close them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't, but make sure you don't froze them.
Laughing came before language.
How do we know? Good.
Some researchers tickled baby apes, which, beyond being adorable, showed that they share the same structure as ours and likely arose in our common ancestors millions of years ago. Language came about much later.
Well, think of a baby.
So the Planet of the Apes is coming.
Yes.
Just, you know, not in our lifetime.
So babies laugh first, right?
Babies laugh.
Before they speak?
Yeah.
And laughing is the, what is it? It's the...
Universal.
Yes. Thank you very much. Universal language. Everybody laughs the same. You don't have to interpret it. How about that?
Okay.
Rosemary and okra. Don't plant those next to your tomatoes. I'm not even going to explain why.
It doesn't matter.
Just don't.
You can't do it.
Don't do it. Don't wreck your tomatoes. Make sure your this is actually telling me I need to feed my tomatoes. My tomatoes need nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just plant them and that's it. And I don't get very good luck.
Oh.
And I don't have good luck, I've told you before, with broccoli. I can't. I've tried for years. I can't grow broccoli.
That's because they get eaten by things.
No, because I plant them too late.
Oh.
Broccoli is a cool weather vegetable.
Well, you can solve that.
I can. Do I want to? No. No, I'm done with broccoli. But it is. It's cool weather. You're supposed to plant it early. And, so I end up getting the long, thin thing with a little bit of broccoli on the top and the yellow flowers, which I did use one time in a salad when I had company. I put the yellow flowers, and they're edible, and they taste like broccoli, and they're really pretty. So just remember, if you lose out on broccoli and you get the little yellow flowers, eat them.
Eat the flowers.
Eat them.
I just found my third.
Oh, good.
True or false. So I'll add that to this.
Is it time?
It is time.
All right.
NASA genuinely faked part of the moon landing.
False.
True or false?
False. It's got to be.
Ants don't. Ants have two sets of.
Lungs.
Lungs. One in 18 people have a third nipple.
You chose that one? You actually chose that one?
Yeah.
You looked at that and said, oh, this is good. I'm going to choose that one. And then I'm going to go spray my toilet because these are real. I think the nipple thing is true. I think the ant thing is true. And I would be really devastated if the NASA is true. So I'm going to say NASA is false. Please.
One in 18 people do have a third nipple. It's known as polythelia. The third nipple is caused by a mutation in inactive genes. Ants don't have lungs.
Oh, my goodness.
They instead breathe through spiracles, 9 or 10 tiny openings, depending on the species. NASA genuinely faked part of the moon landing. While Neil Armstrong's first steps on the lunar surface were categorically not faked, the astronaut quarantine protocol when the astronauts arrived back on Earth was largely just one big show.
Okay.
So it's not the landing itself that was...
Okay, that makes me feel better.
It was the party that they had afterwards.
Right, I don't care about that. Thank you. I'm good. Oh, I'm relieved. Now I can go on with my day.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for listening.
And we'll be back next week
with another riveting show.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.